This is First Baptist Church for Sunday, April 28th, 2024.
From John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. From James 1:17a, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. I want to talk a bit about romance. Romance can have various meanings, as in a book or movie, as in a love relationship, and as in courtship and wooing. In human terms, romance can take the form of how people interact. We use phrases like single and looking, having to do with mingling and dating. Another phrase, when our eyes met, as in love at first sight. The idea that an initial encounter can give the impression that we have just met the one. There are also the realities of what happens behind the scenes, so to speak, as we might say there is more than meets the eye. There are scientific interactions, chemical and pheromone activities, which, though perhaps not consciously aware of, have effects on our encounters with others. Then there are the spiritual interactions. These last two factors are what we might call animal magnetism. In all of this, we see examples of how two people might come to have romantic feelings for one another, but I suggest that they are surface evidence of something much deeper. So romance as in a book or movie. We will read in books, nonfiction, novels, short stories of this type of meeting and reactions between men and women as they might search for love. The Bible is God's love letter to us and is many things, including a romance book. It has all the qualities of a novel across all 66 books. It has a beginning, middle, and end, protagonists, antagonists, central figures, and it tells an overarching story. The greatest story ever told is also the greatest love story ever told. As in John 15:13, the ultimate act of love, of giving one's life for one's friends, has its perfection in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And is greater still because it is not fiction. It is the truth of the central meaning of the Bible, that God loves us, desires us, and wants to have, and will go to the greatest length to restore the love that we had lost in the fall in the Garden of Eden. Logos and relationship, romance as a loving relationship. We are made in the image of God. He created us able to have relationship with Him. Our DNA, His written code in creation, that which He knew about us before we were born. When God called Jeremiah, He said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." He knows us to our very core. And we have opportunity because of how He made us to have that kind of loving relationship with Him. His love for us is not only revealed in the sacrifice, but in the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus experienced temptation, but also every emotion as we do. His interactions with people related in the Bible show us the many ways He loves us. And we can follow His example and love others in the same ways. Three of them are correction, companionship, and compassion. Correction. Not wanting to see us suffer, He would let people know how to get on the right path and avoid the consequences of following our own earthly inclinations. We can similarly speak the truth in love and point to sin, not to condemn, but to encourage others, and at the same time ourselves, to avoid the pitfalls of fleshly lives. Companionship. Jesus lived with the apostles, and they lived and walked with Him. We can imagine that just as God had walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, that each delighted in the other's company. delighted in his presence, and were exposed continually to his perfect love. Likewise, when we have received the love of God, he makes it possible for us to love others with the same kind of love developed in companionship. By faithfulness, charity, and caring concern, we exhibit the love he shares with us that we may share freely. In fact, we are commanded to do so. By this, all people will know you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. Companionship, friendship, he says, you are my friends. You know, I'm your teacher, you are my disciples, but I don't call you that anymore. I call you friends. He had a special companionship with the apostles. I can see Jesus maybe splashing with Peter with water as they were out fishing, just for fun. Don't see Jesus as just that holy figure that is beyond reach, because he's not. The kind of companionship, the kind of relationship that we can have with Jesus is a loving, endearing, deepening love relationship. Compassion. In the garden, he cried out, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." This is from Matthew 22:37 and also Luke 13:34. His desire to care for us and nurture us, his love for us and desiring to protect us. This is his compassion. When at the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus wept. As I said, he experienced every emotion that we experience. He had to go through pain. He had to go through suffering. He had to go through temptation. But he also had joy, and he had compassion, and he had mourned. He consoled. He cared deeply. The tears of blood he shed, a physical reaction due to how deeply he cared that he would suffer death on the cross out of love for us. In all these things, we see how completely he knows and understands us, and how desiring of love relationship with each of us. Romance as in courtship and wooing. I have to, since I'm not printed, give me a moment. Okay. Uh-oh. All right.
Always have a backup. You gotta have a backup plan.
Okay. Romans 7, 1 through 6. Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has authority only over someone as long as that person lives? For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. So then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit, and not in the old way of the written code. So we take another look at why Paul used marriage when describing this relationship between God and us, the church. In this life, the whole of creation, including the people we come into contact with, are used by God to draw us to him. The beauty of nature, the moments of joy that by common grace we all experience, that can lead to the ultimate lasting joy that, as he says, leading up to the scripture about the greatest love being to lay down his life that I mentioned at the beginning. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Once again, the compassion that Jesus had for us and has for us. John 15, 9 through 11. We are beckoned to the love of God that we might know that joy. As the church is described as the bride of Christ, we become bound to him in a relationship not unlike marriage. It is a mutual devotion that makes it possible to avoid and turn away from any idol that would take his place in our lives. But unlike in Romans 7, it is not a relationship that ends upon death. Indeed, in a way, it is a relationship forged when, in baptism, we die to the world and earthly things and begin new life, born again in him. In this courtship, God himself is wooing us, drawing us, calling to us, ready to connect to us. In this bonding, we become bound to him, and he is joined to us as a branch to a vine. When this courting of us is accepted, we die to the old self. We are born anew in spiritual life, sealed for the day of redemption. The challenge of a long relationship is keeping the fire going. In the parable of the sower and the seed, some hit rocky places and shallow soil such that they could not put down good roots. With no root, the sun burns it up or the birds of the air come and snatch it away. Therefore, we need to put down good roots. Fortunately, this is something within our control. The secret is the foundation being firmly rooted in Jesus will allow us to stand firm and maintain devotion, patience, faithfulness, and recognize that these are an inexhaustible supply when we call upon God to supply them. God is holy. His love is holy. We are drawn to its beauty the clearer we see it. And as I have said, within our control, as we spend time in the Word, spend time in prayer, meditation, and contemplation. The greatest love was Jesus. In obedience to the Father, sacrificing his life for us on the cross. What we can do in response is to follow the greatest commandment and the second like unto it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is the greatest love and blossoms in us so beautifully that all can see and be drawn to the same. So you see, romance is something between us. It's between a husband and wife. It's between those who may be dating. It's between those who are courting and have an eye to marriage. But it is also God's call to us for that loving relationship. We were born into it. At the beginning, Adam and Eve in the garden, in perfect loving relationship with the Father, Jesus who is eternal, and after the fall, that love, as we read through the Bible, expressed in his continuing call, his continuing effort to reconnect. All of the Old Testament speaks to that effort and how we stumbled and tried to get back. There was a desire, first on his part, and though he was perfect and holy and we were sinful, he still desired to have us. As it says, while we were still in sin, he showed his love for us. He desired that relationship so great that he sent Jesus into the world. To be born man, to live as we live, to experience everything we experience, that he might know and can tell exactly what we go through. And that we know that by that fact, that no matter what we go through, Jesus knows what we're going through. He understands. He felt these things. And his love for us is expressed in his desire to restore us, to bring us back into relationship with God. We can get back to the garden because Jesus, in his love for us, was willing, in obedience to the Father, to sacrifice his life for us on the cross. This is what I have for you today. Let us pray. Father God, you are love. I love to read the letters of John and the description of love and light and how you come into our lives. Your love can permeate us. Your love can restore us. Your love renews us. Your love gives us purpose. Your love gives our life meaning. It is the central decision that every single person must make in this life. No one is exempt. There is no middle ground. We have a choice in front of us. We can choose life or death. And Lord, when we choose you, it is eternal life. Not a temporary thing, as in this earthly relationship that we might have with one another, but an eternal one when we are perfectly joined to you again through the life, death, resurrection, and ascension, and upon that return, the final, ultimate goal of being completely reunited with you in that heavenly realm. This is what we look forward to. This is the love you have shown us. This is the love we read about, we sense in your creation, and we detect in the call that you call to us to be reunited to you. Thank you, Lord, for all you do for us, for your perfect creation that gives us this opportunity to be reunited, and all that means in the love and joy and romantic partnership that we will have with you in that heavenly realm. Amen. And I have I think this is appropriate. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.